2415, extension 2633.
We are back, and we're joined by those itinerant travelers, Bonnie and Bill Neely, who will take us on another destination worldview, this time to Germany's beautiful Alpine Road. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm so glad to be able to talk with you today, Roy.
Well, it's always nice to have you there. And I never know if I'm going to get Bonnie or I'm going to get Bill, so it's always a nice surprise.
I'm afraid it's Bonnie today.
Ah, it's Bonnie today. Well, good. It's just Roy today because Marcus is out, and so it's really nice to have you here, Bonnie. It's a really lovely article, those who are listening, if you go to our website at www.ttrn.com, go to Destination Worldview and scroll down to April 20th, and you can read along with us, or just read it a little more in depth. And what we're going to discuss today, I understand, is Germany's beautiful Alpine Road. Tell us more, Bonnie.
Well, it is the most beautiful place I've seen, and we are pretty seasoned travelers from all over the world. This Alpine Road was first developed for tourism by Albert Wessel and Gabriel Demmel. Albert owns or is the director of the Hotel Mövenpick at the Munich airport.
Mm-hmm.
And even though this is a very old road, when the Autobahn was put in, people began to bypass it just for speed. And he recognized, along with Gabriel, that it was something that tourists should be enticed back to travel. It originally was the old road by which they carried salt from the mines near the Bavarian border. Across Europe, because salt was a very necessary commodity.
Well, first of all, it does have some fantastic background, and I was just marveled at some of the history where this whole region actually was originally, as one says, an important trade route for salt over those years, wasn't it?
Yes, it definitely was, and one of the interesting places that you can visit is the salt mine, but I can get to that a little bit later.
Okay.
Our route carried us first to, well, the whole route goes from Lindau to Bad Reichenhall in
right.
Germany, and then it's near Salzburg, Austria. In Bad Reichenhall is the perhaps our favorite place along the way. It's a lovely town that was first discovered by the Romans back in ancient times because of the mineral hot springs there. Of course, that would be a treat when you're a soldier and can't get to any water.
That's for sure.
So they began building this town, and it has been popular ever since. Especially for people who need to go for spa or therapeutic treatments or just for relaxation. There are many places that have the baths and the spa treatments.
Right.
My favorite was Steigenberger Axel Manstein Hotel, which is very famous since 1848 when it was built for King Maximilian II to bring his whole royal court to this hot springs area.
That's amazing. In fact, you've made some interesting recommendations on places to stay and things to see when you get into these areas.
Yes, our focus was to study the arts and crafts of
right.
the Bavarian area because it is so rich in arts and crafts, and even the people themselves, you'll still see them dressed in the typical Bavarian Alps dress, even just along the roadside on this beautiful highway. And so the whole artistic setting is just perfect for craftsmen and artists and has been for centuries. There's in Bertisch Garden, there's a wonderful museum called Heimatmuseum Schloss Edelheim.
Right.
And it is where they have preserved many of these ancient arts and crafts and are teaching them as many as they can to artisans and craftsmen today to continue these arts. In this area, years ago, monks were just selling food and beer that they made on their farms, but they couldn't make enough money that way, and it occurred to them that they could form a guild to make boxes. And this was in the Middle Ages, and wood boxes were needed for shipping anything.
Right.
So they began to make waterproof wooden boxes. And they became popular for shipping all over Europe and were in high demand. And then some of the more creative makers of them decided to make theirs beautiful. So they began painting them with vegetable dyes and then stamping them with carved wood stamps using the vegetable dyes, and they developed very intricate patterns.
And they were made out of thinly sliced wood, I understand.
Right, and they soaked the wood in water, and then they put it together with glue made from animal bones.
Huh.
And this was, of course, in the Middle Ages.
Right.
And then there are other intricate arts and crafts displayed in this museum from hundreds of years ago. And it was fascinating to us that people who had to work so hard just to find food, grow their own, I mean, they couldn't run to a grocery store, they couldn't turn on the tap for water, but they had to work so hard, and yet they took time to make things beautiful. These boxes have an amazing patterns to them that they've painted or stamped on them, and people today are still learning to make them in the old way because they're still highly prized.
And you also talk about the frescoes, which I find interesting, that originally they were painted on the walls of buildings for illiterate people who obviously couldn't read, so they could find the, I guess, what was in that particular building.
Exactly. And they have preserved these frescoes. We particularly were interested in these in Garmisch and Partenkirchen. They are lovely frescoes that are on the outside of buildings. And one may depict a bakery, one may depict a religious scene, so you know it's a church, although you can usually tell that from a spire.
Right.
One may depict a brewery or someone doing things for horses, a blacksmith shop. Anyway, these things were painted on the outside of buildings, and then some of them would be a picture of a family, and you would know it was a family dwelling. And there used to be many, many artists that knew how to do this. Fresco, as you know, the paint is put on while it's still wet plaster.
Right.
And so it will last for centuries. But now there are very few artists that know how to do this anymore, and they're in high demand to keep these in good condition. And these are beautiful in these towns in the Alpine Road area.
It's beautiful. I've seen some of these paintings. I'm not sure that they were in the fresco format, but it's kind of interesting, and then it sort of carried over into lovely signs that they hung in front of buildings.
That's right. I guess as people learn to read, they can make some signs also. We were walking through the old part of Garmisch and Partenkirchen when we saw we were looking at these frescoes, and all of a sudden we looked up, and there was this huge beer wagon drawn by these great big Clydesdale-type horses.
Right.
With their bells on, and the men that were on the wagon were dressed in their little alpine shorts, you know, and the funny little hats.
Right.
And it was just like a picture out of a movie, and they actually come through the town with beer, barrels of beer, on their wagon that people can just stop and get for a very nominal price.
To this day.
And this has been done for centuries.
That's just marvelous. And I think that we miss that sort of thing. It's just nice to know that they carry over some of the old traditions.
It really is. I think our air conditioning has made us stay inside so much, our heating and air conditioning, that we hardly get out for these convivial gatherings like they have, particularly in their beer gardens. And it's just a really exciting experience to get to know the other people in different areas, and it expands our worldview and teaches us something to bring back home with us as well.
Bonnie, before you take us through some of the places that you recommend to stay and places to see as well, let's go through this Alpine Road and give us a little more background on that, if you will.
Okay, as I said, it was developed as the road by which they carried salt to
right.
market. And
exactly.
The salt mines are in Salzburg, Austria, and then around this Bad Reichenhall area. There is a salt museum in the Bad Reichenhall that is also connected with another artist academy that we were very interested in called the Reichenhaller Academy.
Right.
And they have classes, that 3-week classes for painting, drawing, enamel, and metal, and sculpture that people come from all over the world to take. And they have world-famous artists that teach these. And they explained to us that not many people in America know about them because they don't think they're taught in English, but they are. So that was very interesting to learn. But there was, they have the salt museum there, and you can see all about how the salt was mined and see the artifacts from that. And then this was carried, of course, by foot and by horses over this road.
Right.
Very nearby, you can find lots of little towns along the road. But one of our favorites was Omar Abigail, famous for the Passion Play.
Right.
And you can get lots of Christian art there, beautiful paintings and crosses and other kinds of things to bring back. One very fascinating place that we found was Brucknerbauer. It's a bed and breakfast owned by Marianne Kimblicker and her husband. And they don't speak any English. They speak just German. But this was another expansion of our worldview. We learned that through smiles and hand gestures, we could get along famously and became good friends.
It's amazing how much you can get across with hand gestures.
Oh, it really is, and a warm, loving spirit, which she certainly has. And she has a lovely, perfectly clean apartment that you can rent in her home.
Now, she is a doll maker, I understand.
Yes, and this home is 300 years old. Big, thick adobe walls that are half a meter thick. That's about a foot and a half thick. And arched ceilings with dark wood beams, and just decorated everywhere because she's a collector and an artist of many different kinds. But in the last few years, or really for the last 30 years since her children were grown, she has specialized in making dolls. And I found that it was so fascinating. She did not play with dolls as a child. She just developed this as a hobby after her children were grown, and she makes the dolls by pouring the slip into the kiln, into the mold, and firing them in her kiln. And then she makes the dolls from beginning to end. She paints them and fires them three different times. She decided not to do the hair and eyes herself after trying it a few times. She said those were too messy looking when she did it herself, so she orders the eyes and the wigs for them.
Now you mentioned that there's a website that you can go to see this. And,
yes, and it's listed in, there's a link to it.
Right.
On our site.
On the site, right, there is
right.
a link to it. And so she makes these dolls, except for the eyes and hair, and
her home upstairs, the third floor of her home, is a doll museum. And she has hundreds of dolls displayed in here, displayed as if they were going to school, or as if they were pushing a baby carriage, or a family sitting down to dinner together. And they're all sizes, and both boy and girl dolls, and they're dressed, each one is dressed individually and uniquely to fit the type of doll it is or the scene she wanted it in, and she makes all the clothes, even to knitting little stockings for them.
It was
just really amazing. Even my husband enjoyed it. And he's not a doll person.
Now, you mentioned that a few minutes away there's some other interesting sites to see.
Yes, in...
near Eagle's Nest Monument, and you've
and the famous ski area around Garmisch.
Right.
By Reichenhall, we also met a woman, Bridget Muckwitz, who's world famous for painting eggs. Egg painting is a tradition in Germany, and particularly in the Bavarian area. And I don't mean just Easter egg dyeing like we do.
Right.
They spend months painting these eggs in intricate designs, and every other year, everybody in the town brings their own hand-painted egg to decorate a statue in town.
Right, and they do Christmas bowl decorations as well.
Yes, she expanded hers to so it's not seasonal when she became world famous, and she started painting Christmas balls, glass balls, sort of very unique. They're hand-blown, and they're just beautiful, and she decorates those, and she is featured in gift shops all over the world.
Right.
And you can go in her little shop and watch her paint.
That's just marvelous. I mean, and you know what I love about some of these areas, as you mentioned, you know, driving through the Alpine Road, is the this two-story houses with red geranium boxes, you know, brightly hanging over the windows.
Yes, we didn't see a single house that didn't have a box of red geraniums, which was very surprising to us. It's like someone said, you have to do this all over the area.
And then in the background, the Holstein milk cows and...
Yes, driving along this road, even though it's a two-lane highway, a very nice two-lane highway. And all of a sudden, there was a herd of these beautiful cows in front of us, tinkling their little bells and walking back, and everybody just stops, you know, walking back to be milked for the evening, and beautiful green pastures, and with the Alps as a background for all of it, or else you're in it when you go into the national park area. You're up in the Alps, and there are beautiful lakes and gurgling streams and picturesque little churches throughout. It's just an absolutely gorgeous area.
Well, it just sounds like a marvelous trip. Now, what else would you recommend to someone who is interested in going to see this area, Bonnie?
I think music is the other thing that is the big attraction beside the spas and the arts and crafts and just the beautiful scenery. Music is a highlight. In Bad Reichenhall, they have nightly free concerts in what they call the Cure Garden. And it's the concept of being a cure garden to help people get well by just having beautiful experiences was just fascinating to us. There are flowers everywhere. And it's just a gorgeous place. It's outdoors. And they have concerts every night throughout the three seasons, you know, that are good enough for it.
Uh-huh.
And then indoors on the nights that it's bad weather. And there are free concerts just by local musicians. And the night that we were there, it was raining, and so they had it indoors, and everybody got up and danced during the concert.
Uh-huh.
And that was really fun to see just local people dancing in their normal everyday clothing. And the dances, particularly the polkas, that they enjoy, and we just loved watching them.
It's really wonderful to be able to participate and sit around in that natural environment with that sort of feeling. I just love it. I think it's absolutely terrific. Bunny, it's a great article, and we appreciate you taking the time to sharing it with our listeners.
Well, thank you. I certainly enjoyed talking about it, and I hope many of the listeners will choose to go to the website, realtraveladventures.com, and that's my website, and we have three more detailed articles about this area there.
Well, thank you, Bonnie, and I'm sure they will, and we look forward to talking to you soon on another Destination Worldview.
Good. Thank you so much, and my best to Marcus.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
That was